Lights out on the hour. It is the hour of the time. Lights out for the curfew of your body, soul, and mind.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time tonight, the 16th of June 2010, Wednesday, with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank all of you for tuning in this evening. We have another exciting broadcast tonight. It's part two of About an Agent Knocking on Your Door. And I think you're going to learn a lot more, and I hope all of you are taking notes. And joining the Hot Club so that you can have MP3 copies of this and notes, etc., to review down the road as well. But first, the contact information. If you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com, that's hourofthetime.com. The studio number in Arizona, 928-333-2942. That's 928-333-2942. And the studio in Canada, 613-733-4324. 613-733-4324. Now, if you'd like to share research or ask productive questions or send hate mail, you can email me directly at hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget the Hour of the Time is listener-supported, and through your support is how we entertain larger operations, expand our frequencies like into this new shortwave that we want to do. It's how we do more speaking engagements out of town. I've been asked to come back to the East Coast. I'm not going to foot the bill out of my pocket. So you need to kick in and support. We have engagements, expansion opportunities, video projects, audio projects, and cataloging like crazy backed up if we can only facilitate that and get that done. So there's some great ways that you can help Hour of the Time in the operation and the work towards establishing our freedom once again fully and at the same time get something in return. Go to the website, hourofthetime.com, and go to the Hot Shop, and there you'll see numerous individual MP3 files, MP3 collections, DVD presentations, PDFs, etc. And also, one of the great ways is the Hot Club. And by joining that on a month-by-month basis, you allow us to have some material to work with. We've got supplies right now that we need. I just coughed up and purchased for Hour of the Time out of my own pocket, out of side jobs. That doesn't make any sense anymore, ladies and gentlemen, for certain bigger endeavors. It doesn't make any sense at all. So this is a great way for you to help the Hour of the Time and at the same time get something in exchange for your research library. In the Hot Club at the end of the month, of course, the end of the month, you will receive a disc with the offers from on the air, the research offers, like PDFs or documents. Also, any documentation that we may have cited but's difficult to get for you, or we just have around and have offered or reference, then that is also on the disc from the whole month's Monday through Friday prime time audio slot, which is 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday. And you get all the MP3s played during that prime time slot for the month, all on a disc. So you're getting a massive amount of MP3 audio and documentation every month for your $40 donation. It's a great way, ladies and gentlemen, to support us and help us along and see us expand even more. It's getting a little wearing, always traveling on the road nonstop, doing speaking engagements and fitting in, broadcasting at the same time and order fulfillment and everything. We could use some help, ladies and gentlemen. I sure don't want to cut out the on-site face-to-face speaking engagements whatsoever. In fact, the broadcast will suffer, if anything. The face-to-face gets a lot more done, I feel. And I'm basing that just simply on the emails I receive. People that said they listened but write 3 days later to ask for a research offer, even though I categorically said, don't ask except for tonight. So basically, a lot of you seem to ignore and don't take notes based on questions I receive after broadcast what is put out to begin with. So we will just start cutting back, or I will at least, because I'm going to be working in some other projects elsewhere more and more often. I have some great opportunities where I can stream when I want to, when I need to, any time of the day, stream from wherever I'm at. And I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be stifled anymore, harping on you on the broadcast to try to support us. Okay? So let's get out there. If you want to see this, expand and get everything out there and get a lot more accomplishments done at the hour of the time, then fine, get out there and back it up. Because if not, I know I personally am ready to move on. If it's going to keep being the same handful of dedicated people throughout the years doing everything for the bulk while everybody else wants to sit back, it's not going to happen anymore. So, because like I say, you're going to be seeing me elsewhere a lot more, and probably less on the hour of the time, because I don't like not being able to do live broadcasts and take call-ins and questions from the audience. I don't appreciate that at all, and that's the case right now, right here at Hour of the Time, and I have an opportunity to be able to do that when it needs to be done, any time of the day, multiple-hour broadcasts, whatever. So, keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Now, tonight's offer for your research library is a playbook, if you will. And many of you may have heard that term, maybe in sports or what have you, but a playbook or an outline book. And what it is, this is the Chemical Weapons Response Program written by the U.S. Army Soldier and Biological Chemical Command. And then also they formed a domestic preparedness chemical team. And this is the very guidelines to for responding to and managing a chemical weapon of so-called mass destruction terrorist event. How it will be managed. Who's involved. How to do play-by-play, if you will. How the scenario will pan out. It's 92 pages long. It is even called by their own verbiage on the cover, a playbook. So tonight's special offer is that. So maybe just email me, Chemical Weapons Playbook. Tonight, Wednesday the 16th of June, 2010, when this broadcast is new and live only, and I'll email that to you, the Chemical Weapons Playbook. And that's from the U.S. Army's Biological Chemical Command, ladies and gentlemen. And I think you'll find some interesting reading in here. Like I say, it's 92 pages, a short manual, but good color photos and outlines and charts, etc. So many of you will find this, I would imagine, of great use. Now, after this musical break, be prepared to take notes, because again, if an agent comes knocking, it's going to occur more and more often, as we are squeezed more and more by the socialists in Washington and all around us. And you better be prepared to deal with the situation and handle it. Ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time, Wednesday, 16th of June, 2010. Don't forget, email me at hourofthetime@hotmail.com for the Chemical Weapons Playbook, if you want that tonight, as a free research offer from the U.S. Army's Chemical Command. Very interesting reading, ladies and gentlemen. I think you get the gist. Now, also don't forget we are listener-supported. Join the Hot Club, ladies and gentlemen. That opportunity on the shortwave and some cross-country speaking engagement tours, if you will, is not going to last forever. And this would be a great move, ladies and gentlemen, to get this word out even farther. So, with that said, we left off yesterday talking about an agent comes knocking, and we left off with the threat to get a warrant or a grand jury subpoena. Unless maybe you're threatened to that with that, excuse me, if you don't talk or consent to a search. And again, don't be intimidated by that. It's one of the oldest, dirtiest tricks in the book. And like we said, if it was so easy for them to just get a subpoena or warrant, why would he or she, that agent of whatever agency, wasted their time trying to get you to voluntarily cooperate? Simply state, plain and simple, you will not consent to any search, and you will not talk without any counsel, lawyer, or witness present. Plain and simple. Now, if you can't get your lawyer, if that's the way you go, I deal with counsel, or a witness around right off the bat, then just keep your mouth shut. But as soon as possible, get a witness. And never should you engage, never should you start the interaction ever without a witness being with you. It should be SOP for your group, your activities, whatever. Just like your document destruction policies and document retention. If you want the technical word out there in the government circles, your document retention policies should be clearly written down. And if that means every time, as soon as an address or correspondence is handled, that address or correspondence or envelope or order or whatever you're dealing with is burned or shredded and destroyed, always, then make sure it's in writing, maybe in some bylaws that a few of you get together and do. If you incinerate them, whatever. And always do that before you go letting them dig through your trash, trying to put together other stuff. Now, what if an agent claims to have a search warrant? What do you do? Well, then ask to see it. It's plain and simple. Ask to see it. And it must be signed by a judge to be valid, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget that. It has to be signed by a judge to be valid. A search warrant has to be specific as to the area to be searched and the object or objects to be searched for. And do not consent to any agent of any agency searching any areas not specifically included in the search warrant. And remember, they are going to try. And just because an agent has a search warrant and you verified it has a judge's signature and you make them stick to the items and areas specifically listed on the warrant to be searched, you still have the right to not answer any questions. Ladies and gentlemen, maintain your right to silence during the entire search. Clearly state that intention, ladies and gentlemen, if you are asked any questions. And as soon as possible, watch them while you're dialing a friend. Hey, Joe, you need to get over here. Or Powder Puff or whoever you're going to call. You need to get over here. If you can't immediately get some prearranged that your group organization has, or yourself, lawyer or counsel, whatever you choose to use. Okay? Something to really keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Now, agents searching cars, that's a whole other area, and it's a huge quagmire, okay? And what happens is large, broad powers to conduct warrantless searches of cars are used by law enforcement, okay? And what they'll do is if an agent of an agency has probable cause, they think, to believe that a car contains evidence of a crime, without a warrant, they're going to search that vehicle and any container inside that vehicle that is large enough, and keep this in mind, that is large enough to contain the item for which the agent had probable cause to search. Okay? So the classic example is, if you have they think you stole a television, and they don't see it in your back seat or the passenger seat next to you, and they tell you to open the trunk because they have probable cause to believe you're the one who stole it. So let's say you open the trunk. They can't go looking through your little teeny lunch pail for a 40-inch TV. And they can't be looking through your tool bag for a 40-inch TV. Okay? That is how it works. They can't be looking in your glove box for a 40-inch TV. And if he or she, the agent of whatever agency, thinks they have probable cause to search a container recently placed in the car, that agent can only search that container. So be very clear and specific with them as you go through these steps. Okay? If you're arrested for some reason and your car is impounded, guaranteed it will get a warrantless search in the name of a warrantless inventory search. Okay? And what this means is the law enforcement will search your car for the purpose of cataloging what's inside. That's why it's called a warrantless inventory search. Okay? Now, they may not, and, okay, they may use anything they find against you for any reason as well. Okay? So keep that in mind. If your vehicle gets impounded, they are going to do a warrantless inventory search to inventory the items inside. Everything, every inch of that vehicle. Now, the police are not supposed to, use an inventory search as pretext for performing a warrantless search outright. Okay? But, unfortunately, like any other thing, anything else in the world that humans are involved with, there is corruption. There are people that are morally bankrupt, if you will, and may not stick to the rules. They may not just be making sure of what's in the vehicle before it goes in a fenced yard so that you get all your possessions back. There are always going to be unscrupulous people as long as people are involved with anything on earth. Okay? Now, it's not all police. I'm just saying. It will happen. Okay? So keep that in mind. Now, what do you do, let's say, if you're home or office is broken into, and maybe the motive was intelligence gathering. Now, if your home or office has been broken into, or threats have been made against you, or your organization, or someone you work with, you need to share this information with everyone affected and take immediate steps to increase your personal and office and building security. Contact your prearranged counsel or lawyer immediately. Okay? And this is going to get into the sneak and peek searches. What sneak and peek searches are, and you can thank a ton of this on our Anti-Terrorism Acts, Patriot Acts. You get the hint. We've covered it all on the air before. Your sneak and peek, it's kind of the nickname for them, allow an agent of an agency in the government with secret approval from a court to conduct searches and surveillance without notifying the subject of the search. Now, since sneak and peek searches are intended to be carried out in secret, they usually, guess what, are conducted through breaking and entering. Normally, an agent has to go before a judge and demonstrate probable cause in order to obtain a search warrant, and they must specifically identify and describe the area to be searched, the items to be looked for, and that is it. But guess what? Your FISC, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, we've covered this extensively in the past. However, and through the FIS, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Courts, agents can obtain authorization to conduct a sneak and peek search if they can demonstrate that the search will provide foreign intelligence information. And foreign intelligence gathering doesn't have to be the primary reason for the search. It just has to be a significant reason for the search. What this really means and ultimately means for you, ladies and gentlemen, is that an agent of an agency can get authorization to search your home or your office or your vehicles to gather evidence of criminal acts so long as foreign intelligence gathering is also a goal in the search. Now, while the sneak and peek searches were designed, supposedly, which I do not buy one bit, but in the little cute utopian world, supposedly they were designed for the purpose of gathering foreign intelligence information. But mind you, most courts have allowed evidence and information obtained from sneak and peek searches to be used in criminal prosecutions. So keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Now, another thing that may occur is, what if an agent shows up with an arrest warrant? And maybe we'll start with, what is an arrest warrant? Now, we've been talking about search warrants, but they're different. An arrest warrant is a court order authorizing some agent of an agency to arrest a specified person. Arrest warrants are to be signed and issued by a judge based on sworn applications from law enforcement attesting that there is a probable cause that a crime has been committed and the person or people named in the warrant committed the crime. Now, in general, though, an agent of so-called law enforcement won't need a warrant to make an arrest. If they have probable cause to believe a crime is being committed, they can make an arrest. But there are two common exceptions to this rule. In most, but not all states, ladies and gentlemen, law enforcement entities and agents thereof will need a warrant to make an arrest for a misdemeanor that they did not witness personally. That's in most states, but not all. They need an actual arrest warrant signed by a judge to make an arrest for a misdemeanor that they did not witness personally. But remember, an agent of an agency will more than likely get away with making arrests for felonies they did not witness without an arrest warrant. So, guess what? If you haven't noticed, from our news list or broadcasting or whatever you look and read and listen to, almost everything is a felony. So they've got a safety net built in. Secondly, law enforcement agent of an agency generally need an arrest warrant to make an arrest in your home. They can, though, usually get away with, at least initially. Doesn't mean you don't have recourse and some severe repercussions against them. But initially, they can make a warrantless arrest in your home if they believe there is a risk that you will destroy evidence. Or if they are in chasing you and they're in hot pursuit and you duck into you or someone else's home. So keep that in mind. Just simply based on their sworn testimony, later on, mind you, if they believe that there's a risk that you might destroy evidence for a hunch they have, they can make a warrantless arrest in your home. So keep all this in mind, ladies and gentlemen, in your activities. Okay? Now, the arrest warrant is a tool used by so-called law enforcement agents to enter your home to make an arrest. But there is a loophole, one of the many big loopholes, that is that once the agents are inside your home, even if they are there with only an arrest warrant, they have great leeway to conduct a search. They can search what they consider to be the immediate area around you without any search warrants. And they'll always can fall back on the so-called protective sweep and search the entire house and premises and property as part of that so-called protective sweep if they claim they have reasonable belief that a dangerous person might be present there. So, what can you do initially? Now, this is all up to you. I am not there for your situation. I don't know what you did or didn't do or what anything is on paper. But some ideas. If some agent of an agency arrives at your home or other place, your office, whatever, with an arrest warrant, the best thing to do is go outside and, if it's safe to do so whatsoever, lock the door behind you. Now, if you have some other way that you think you want to or are going to handle it, then do that. I'm just telling you in general. If you think you can't handle a jurisdictional argument, if you think that upon seeing it that the arrest warrant is legitimate, go outside and lock the door behind you. Okay? If law enforcement agents of an agency really think they have something good on you and they have an arrest warrant, they will arrest you. But you don't need to let them conduct a warrantless search of your home and properties as well. Okay? So keep all that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Search warrants and arrest warrants are different. Warrantless searches, inventory searches, records retention policies, sneak and peeks. These are all different things that we've defined. Now make sure you're very comfortable and familiar with the terms and actions. Know their tools, if you will. Now after this musical break, so I can get some of that green tea. Been drinking, it's good stuff, and I gave you that website. I suggest you go check it out. In fact, we're already out. I'll have to get some more myself. But after this musical break, we're going to go into subpoenas. Now, this gets to be a real interesting little field here in how you can need to behave and how you need to react with your lawyer or counsel, as I use, is important. How you behave and react to a subpoena. How you can get it quashed, for instance. Right after this musical break. ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Again, the 16th of June, 2010, Wednesday, and tonight's offer, ladies and gentlemen, if you write me tonight, tonight only, Chemical Weapons Playbook, or Chemical Warfare Playbook. Write me, email me directly, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, and I'll send that to you as like a thanks from us for you being diligent and tuning in when the broadcast is new and live. And don't forget, again, the Hour of the Time is listener-supported. And we're the ones out there, ladies and gentlemen, I dare say almost the only ones out there. There's a few others that are doing good work. That brings you solution-oriented programming, conferences, speaking engagements, and research materials. Solution orientation, ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's about. And if you want to see that expand even greater and greater, then we need your support. Go to the website, hourofthetime.com, and go to the Hot Shop. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what is a subpoena? A lot of people don't even know what it is. I see a lot of people banner in chat rooms about, oh, taxes are illegal and blah, blah, blah. But then you go ask them, they pay taxes. So they're just liars and hypocrites. Or you're people that act like they know all this stuff about law and they can't even tell you what some of the basic things are out there, definitions. A subpoena is simply an order issued, usually, okay, by a government agency, an agent, that demands someone turn over physical evidence, such as documents, or that the person testify in a court. But subpoenas are extremely easy to obtain. Okay? They are often filed by an employee, a court clerk, or even private attorneys. A subpoena does not need to be presented to a judge before it's issued. The showing required to issue a subpoena is extremely low. A subpoena, in fact, can be issued if there is any reasonable possibility that the physical evidence or testimony demanded will provide information relevant to the subject being investigated. Now, when I say subject, that doesn't necessarily mean a person subject. We could be also speaking subject matter. And this is a problem. The ease with which subpoenas are issued make them a powerful tool. But guess what? Unlike search warrants or other government tools, they can be challenged in court prior to compliance. Prior. So if you receive a subpoena, you can move to quash the subpoena if it is too broad or too burdensome. Or if it seeks legally protected materials, including any materials protected under the First Amendment. Once a subpoena is quashed, the documents or testimony demanded are no longer required of the recipient of the subpoena. Okay? Now, subpoenas are also particularly dangerous because law enforcement agents and agencies and clerks and lawyers can subpoena third parties that may have information about you. The government could subpoena other people for emails you have sent them, or they can ask your email provider for them. Because these third parties probably don't have the same interest in defeating these subpoenas that you do, they're more likely to comply with the subpoena without a fight. Keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Keep that in mind. That's what a subpoena is. So, what do you do if you receive a subpoena? Seek to quash the subpoena before the date of compliance specified on the subpoena itself. Do that first thing. But remember, even a subpoena that states that it requires immediate compliance cannot be enforced without a judge. So it may have been issued by some clerk in some court, some private attorney, almost anybody could have issued it and say it requires immediate compliance. But guess what? If it wasn't before a judge and signed, it can't be enforced without that if it's an immediate compliance style. So you still have in you without, even if you're not given time per se, a date of compliance, as they call it, to quash it. So if someone shows up your door and tries to serve you with a subpoena, don't jump out your door and beat them into the ground over that subpoena. Because then you're going to open up a whole can of worms. Just take the damn subpoena. Don't let the person in. Don't answer any questions. Don't consent to a search. It doesn't give, the subpoena that is, an agent of any agency the right to make any immediate action. They're like a mailman, a delivery person. That's all it is with the subpoena. So don't let the person in your offices, your buildings, your home. Don't answer any questions. Don't consent to any searches. Don't talk. Don't do anything. Okay? If they want to leave it on your doorstep, then let them leave it. And let them walk off. Now, again, I can't speak for each of your individual cases that have arisen or may arise and will do so on an increasing level and amount in the near future to people all over this country. Because I'm not there to see it, obviously. And I don't know any of the background that led up to that very easy to get subpoena being obtained by someone. But these are good general guidelines for those of you who are quite lost in what to do when faced with all these. Now, what you should also do immediately is get all the same information, just like any phone or interpersonal interaction, that you can as possible. Get the person's name, a business card, what they were driving, description, time of day, license plate numbers, all of that. Get every bit of it. Then you must also, if you're not 100% confident in your abilities to quash a subpoena, you need to seek out the services of your counsel or an attorney. Now, if in the unlikely event, and it's unlikely, that you're informed that a third party has been subpoenaed for records about you, you can move to quash that subpoena as well. It doesn't have to be issued directly to you, but you're probably not going to find out. Hopefully, though, those that you interact with, at least, co-workers that you actually interact with, I'm saying, friends in a group, maybe a friend, maybe it's a church Bible study group at your home, whatever. Hopefully, they have enough scruples, integrity, esprit de corps to let you know that they were given a subpoena with such and such compliance date to give up records on you. And you can go quash that subpoena as well. Okay, so they're handed out fast, but they can be quashed. You don't have to talk. You don't have to answer questions. It's not an arrest warrant. It's not a search warrant. You don't have to comply. Even if it says immediate compliance, it still has to be signed and enforced by a judge, the clerk, or the private lawyer, if they wrote whatever on it. So keep all that in mind. Subpoenas get a lot of people in a lot of trouble because they don't know how to behave and react to them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, something that is going on ever so more, and you see it all the time, it's been going on forever, is infiltration and human surveillance. Infiltration and human surveillance. And right after this musical break, we're going to start into some oratory and lessons for you on that. Some background into it. What is an informant? How are informants and undercover agents used? How are they used against you? How do they get around laws that are there to protect you? So I hope you're taking notes, ladies and gentlemen. We'll continue on right after this musical break. right, ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Tonight, 16th of June, 2010, Wednesday, with part two of If an Agent Comes Knocking. Now, what is an informant? An informant are individuals who are not employed, per se, as law enforcement agents, who provide agents of any agency with information, often in exchange for money. An informant ordinarily has previous involvement in and more intimate knowledge of, for instance, a group or organization that some agency is investigating. So know their tools, know what they are. Now, the use of undercover agents and informants is indispensable in investigations by modern law enforcement agencies. And not just agencies, but agencies at all levels that purport to be representatives of the government. The ability to place undercover agents or informants in movements, organizations, groups, gives an agency a kind of access that otherwise would be nearly impossible to obtain. Infiltration is very useful to collect confidential information, for instance, on the activities of private individuals, and give an agency enough information to then have reasonable cause to initiate an investigation. Undercover agents and informants can report to law enforcement on what? Think about it. They can report, ladies and gentlemen, on participants and participation levels, tactics, action of movements, organizations, meeting dates, upcoming events. And they can even suggest, encourage, or participate in activities in their efforts to arrest people. Oftentimes, informants, plants, infiltrators, undercover agents, oftentimes participate in illegal activities to try to make an arrest. Now, courts have generally held that the public policy forbids the disclosure of an informant's name unless essential to the defense in a criminal case. So guess what? Informants are rarely called upon to testify. Guess what that does then? That enables them to act with only a limited amount of responsibility or accountability. So you need to keep this in mind in your activities and your associations, your organizations, your groups that you work with. Think about all of these factors, ladies and gentlemen. Infiltration and human surveillance. Undercover agent. An undercover agent is typically a law enforcement officer who uses an assumed name or fake identity to infiltrate a movement, organization, or group to gather information and evidence. Now, in political infiltration cases, an agent will typically pose as a sympathizer. That way they can participate in that particular organization, gain the trust of its key members, and then use that access to gather confidential information to pass on to some agency. And a secondary objective may even be to lay the groundwork for an entirely separate investigation, typically concoct a cover story as detailed as the assignment requires, as well as some basic biography even, and a plausible story covering past and present activities. Keep all of that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. It's all over the place. All you have to do is look back at Bill's case. And look what that Jezebelian whore, Jessica, did. His long-lost daughter, who claimed she never could find him on the entire internet, looking up Milton Cooper, William Cooper, Bill Cooper, behold a pale horse, and then miraculously just finds him one day. After years of broadcasting and internet databases and exclusive stories and books published and speaking engagements, on and on and on. And then comes here with his permission. He lets her in the home She gets a full preview of everything, and then she causes a ruckus to then get, well, I got to go home, I can't take this, and leave, not even caring about so-called personal possessions that she claimed were dear to her when she arrived, only to go and turn in diagrams of Bill's house, tell in the diagram saying where would be good places to sneak in, what windows, to capture him. Happens all the time, ladies and gentlemen. And remember the good friend of his from Highway Patrol, Dave Mann. Lying, infiltrator, undercover agent, cooperating witness, informant, rat, piece of crap. Dave Mann, yes. And I know he listens quite often, actually. But that's okay. I dealt with him at the funeral as well. He lied. Blatantly lied. I have him writing right here within reach of me right now to get in with Bill. And then he constantly would butter Bill up and then allowed, with his permission, and the producers of Hour of Our Time saw all this, James, in the reports, that we tried to get tons of you to pay for copies for at least and shipping costs and wouldn't, unfortunately, a lot of you, because now most of those reports have been destroyed. We have them. And guess what? He baited and baited and lured and got in, come visit, draw diagrams, just like Glenn Judas Jacobs, of everything in there, lie back and forth, make up all sorts of outlandish stories, and even give permission to authorities to tap his phone for 2 years straight, while he on purpose called Bill constantly, fishing for information. So ladies and gentlemen, you just remember that. It's real easy for it to happen to you as well. And one other thing that comes up in a lot of these, and this is just the surface scratching here, infiltration and human surveillance. We'll continue on tomorrow evening with this, infiltration and human surveillance. But cooperating witnesses are another thing. Now, they're similar to informants, except that cooperating witnesses usually agree to flip or snitch after being threatened with prosecution. Now, they'll typically testify in a court in exchange for lesser charges being filed against them, if there are any charges filed against them at all. Now, agencies will often recruit informants and cooperating witnesses from the ranks of people already active within a group or organization or movement that's being targeted. And the government agencies will often threaten these individuals with charges carrying massive jail time, offering to not file, of course, the charges in exchange for a promise to inform on others in the group. Undercover agents, on the other hand, remember, use false pretenses from the beginning of their association with any movement or organization. So there's three important classifications and definitions to remember. And we can get into it more tomorrow, but as we've discussed, oh, in the chat rooms, on the broadcast, at speaking engagements, etc., face-to-face, whatever, we've often discussed three of those key things to do or to ask if approached, okay? Remember, don't engage and walk away if at all possible. And then ask, what is the nature of your question? That's number one. Number two, am I being detained? And the third question, am I free to go? Okay? So, if you cannot engage and walk away, then do so. If they say you're not being detained, then walk away. If they say you're being detained, ask what for. If they don't tell you what for, then ask them, am I free to go? And go right back to the beginning again. What is the nature of your question? Am I being detained? Am I free to go? Now, ladies and gentlemen, that ends tonight's broadcast. Again, on the Hour of the Time, tonight, Wednesday, the 16th of June, 2010, part two, and if an agent comes knocking. I hope all of you have a safe, a studious evening, and I hope all of you took detailed notes.